Now, some fascinating research to tell you about today. It's from Mark McCrindle, who we know as the award-winning social researcher, best-selling author, amongst so many other things. He's launched this. It's Australians Post-COVID-19. Do you wonder what Australia might look like, what it might feel like to be in this place once all this is done and dusted, assuming it's at some point done and dusted? He says, understanding how COVID-19 has shaped our society, 2020 has truly changed the way we live, the way we work, and, of course, the way we play. And Mark's research explores the impacts, the sentiment, and, importantly, the year ahead. I'm delighted to say Mark McCrindle is on the line. I trust you well, Mark.
Yes, I am, Luke, and great to be chatting with you.
Thank you. Nice to talk to you again. Of course, it might depend in which state you reside, because there hasn't been the one Australian response. But maybe the bigger question is, are a number of us ready to put this behind us and move on with even perhaps more gusto than we might have before?
Yeah, we sure are. You know, it's only October, but we're looking forward to Christmas and the new year in a big way. 88% of Australians said they're excited to close the door on 2020. So that really does sum up the sentiment of the year. It has been a wearying year. And in fact, 70% of Australians say that this year has pushed them to their limits.
Wow.
So that says something of the anxiety and the uncertainty that has dominated this year.
Yeah. Of course, our lives have changed. We know that. And there are things that we could normally do that we can't do. One of those would be travel. One of those would be attending, as the research is labelling it, life events like weddings and funerals and other celebrations such as those. Are they the elements of life that Australians are missing most? Have you been able to detect what's in that list?
Yes, travel has been the biggest one. You know, we are freedom-loving people, and we love to travel this fantastic land of ours, not just within our state, but interstate. And that has been brought to a crushing halt this year. In fact, when we ask people what they want to do with some of the forced savings upon them, you know, people have saved in terms of spending less. Travel around Australia is at the top of the list. So that's been a big impact. And in fact, Australians here were saying that they really felt that this year has presented challenges. But I think on the positive side, there's almost 9 in 10, they say that they have found themselves resilient amongst the circumstances. So, you know, as tough as it's been economically and around the jobs front and with the work from home and learning from home and the anxiety around COVID, it actually has forged in us a resilience,
yeah.
And most Australians say that they have responded positively to the circumstances they've been presented with.
That is intriguing. We might just come back to that in a sec, but you mentioned work, and I now can't help but ask you, my partner at home, she works from home. She's got a managerial role, and she looks after a bunch of people, and they communicate via Zoom, I think, and it's all electronic. And she tells me that what they've found internally within the business, productivity is up, sick days are down, and it's worked brilliantly for this financial organisation. Now, is that typical? Is that unusual? What are we saying about working from home?
It has been an amazingly positive experience, and it took something like COVID to show us that actually we could do it. We've got the technology to do it, and we can bring about the outcomes for our organisations. The majority of Australians who have worked from home, almost 9 in 10, say that they have saved money through COVID because they haven't had to commute. They've saved time, obviously, with the commuting, being able to spend more time with loved ones and family members. So all of that has been a positive. The important one for employers is, okay, that's all great, but what about the productivity? And for every person who said it was lower than when they're in the office, 2.5 times as many said it's been positive.
Gee.
In fact, 51% say their productivity has increased compared to the 20% who said it's been a challenge. And when we dug deeper with the 20%, the main reason the productivity has been challenged with work from home is because that was at the time they also had the children studying at home or other family members working from home, and it was all a bit chaotic there. But for most people, it was a productive time.
You know, isn't that, Mark, that is fascinating. If you don't need the office space you once did, if you run that sort of operation. If you're in manufacturing or other more physical endeavours, then fair enough. But you do, don't you, wonder what might become of CBDs? I'm not in any way suggesting the collapse of the CBD, but you have to think there might be people still going there, but going there potentially less often. There might be office space open up. All these potential outcomes, do you think?
Well, that's exactly right. You know, we still will go there because as humans, one of the key social bottlenecks to which we pass is work, where we're made to connect. You know, work is a place of belonging and engagement, and that collegiality that comes, the collaboration that comes from working together is a major benefit for us and our work. So we do need it, but we just don't need it all day, every day. And we asked Australians, what's your ideal? And these are Australians that have worked from home during COVID. We said, all right, so is it everyone back to the offices, everyone working from home all of the time, or a mix of the two? And about a quarter of people said the old way of everyone in the office all the time is what they want. A few less than that, 14% said all of the time working from home is what we want. The biggest of all, two-thirds of Australians said a mix. Maybe some days in the office, some days at home, but a mix is what we see the future of work as. And I think we'll start to see that eventuate. In fact, we're already seeing it, and COVID has brought it about.
Yeah, fascinating. We talked about resilience before, but I can't help now but ask you about mental health, because I think there has been evidence already that the demand for mental health support is certainly on the increase. There was a report, Mark, I think 2 or 3 months ago from JAMA, I think it's a Journal of American Medicine, and they said that depressive symptoms were up 300% in America. What about here? Have you been able to detect how people are feeling about themselves mentally?
Yes, we have, and it has been the toughest year in that sense. The biggest challenge that we've had has not been physical health, but it has been mental health. And we broke this down by the generations to look at that impact. And amazingly, it's impacted the younger generation more than the older. So the question is, we asked what have been the long-term impacts of COVID, and we looked at finances and work, and one of those is mental health. And for the baby boomers in their 50s and 60s, 28% said that there's been long-term negative impacts on their mental health because of COVID. But it was twice that in the Generation Z, those in their 20s, who said that. 50% say they've had some mental health impairment because of COVID. So, you know, the younger people have been the most impacted. Now, they're the least vulnerable from the health impacts of COVID, but they've been the most impacted in terms of their social life, in terms of the type of work that they had, which was more casual and part-time, and some of the sectors like hospitality that have been so impacted. They were, you know, at the start of their working lives with the trajectory ahead of them, their study was impacted. And of course, you know, they're more likely to be into travel and to be into entertainment, all of which was brought to a halt. So they have been the most impacted. Their future's been given the most uncertainty, and that's why their mental health was the most challenged in this time.
I'm speaking to Mark McCrindle, founder and principal of McCrindle Research. We're talking about Australia post-COVID-19. I heard you say the word savings before. I guess if the options for entertainment and eating out and all those things have reduced and you've been locked at home to some extent, you probably couldn't help but save. Is that what's happened? Are people now having more money in the bank than they did before all this?
Yeah, amazingly. You know, with the government support that we've enjoyed, with the fact that we have cut back on the spending, and the fact that uncertain times like this recession do cause people to cut back on some costs and pay down debt, that's been the experience of Australians. And so we asked them this question, have you saved more or spent more than usual in 2020? And far more people have saved more than have spent more. In fact, it was more than twice the proportion. So, you know, that's been a positive. And even we asked around with Christmas around the corner, which is the highest spend time of the year, 70% say that they are looking for ways to save even as they move into Christmas, because, you know, they want to have money there for a rainy day, and we don't know how it's all going to play out in 2021. So I think that's that's pretty wide.
Yeah.
And it does mean if things open up, then we can maybe spend some money next year.
And will they shop online or will they go into the physical store?
Online has grown through this. Cash payments have declined. Yeah, there's a lot more contactless payments, but even beyond that, a lot more online. And so that's been a big way of spending money, the big means of it. But as we look to the future, you know, it's not as though everything is going to be virtual. In fact, sure. As I touched on earlier, you know, Aussies want to get out and see this country, and that is the number one ambition for next year when they look at expenses,
yeah.
Is travelling interstate. And maybe down the track, we've got a few less than those that say they're going to travel interstate also want to travel overseas when borders open.
Yeah. Just as a one human being to another, Mark, if we have gone through this and we have, and it's only, you know, to get to the other side without necessarily having the opportunity, which we were afforded by this, whether we wanted it or not, to kind of take stock, and we don't find a way to either improve the way we live our lives or, you know, get a motivation to have another dig, then I'm led to think, or I feel maybe unfairly, that, you know, what was the point of all of that? Are Australians thinking like that, or are we thinking, all right, now this has happened, we've been through it, now it's time to pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and get going again? Has any of that come to light in what you've asked people?
It sure has. You know, Australians have really been a bit philosophical through all of this and have picked up the lessons. You know, some of the sentiments that came through this study was that this has been a good opportunity to innovate and change how I do things. And the majority of Australians here saying, I look for the good and what I can learn in situations like this. Here's one of the strong sentiments that, again, the majority agreed with, that 2020 has been tough, but I know I'll be stronger because of it. Mm. And what we saw through this, and I'm sure we've all seen it anecdotally during the lockdowns, is that people picked up activities that they hadn't for a while. Gardening was something we got into, home exercise, a lot of hobbies.
Yeah.
We picked up a lot more baking at home, so we've enjoyed that. And then, you know, people getting pets and people dusting off the old board games or jigsaw puzzles and spending more time together. In fact, one of the key silver linings of COVID has been we've reprioritized what matters to us, what's important to us. We pushed pause on the very busy lives we were leading pre-COVID, and we got a bit more sanity and balance in our lives. And I think that reprioritization has been very healthy for us and for our relationships.
Agree entirely. Mark, always good to chat. Mark McCrindle, the founder and principal of McCrindle Research. Thank you so much for your time, mate.
You're welcome. Thanks, Luke.